Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
It's time now for part four of our FAI Cadbury series. And today we're going to be talking about the joy that female football brings. So for the last number of weeks on the show, we've been talking about the benefits of women in sport. And as I said, today we're going to chat about the joy that female football brings. I'm joined by Linda Gorman, coach and former Ireland international player, Alana Conan, who is a freelance sports journalist, and Leah Doyle, who is a Shelburne Football Club player. Linda, I'm going to start with you, if I may. And people may not realise that you were, in your time, the very first ever female appointed as head coach for the ladies' team back in at the start of the 90s.
That's correct, 1991 to be exact.
1991.
I mean, that was after many years of playing international. I had the job in 1991.
Okay, now since then, because one of the reasons that you gave up that position was you were unhappy with the poor standards of ladies' football at that time. Obviously, in the interim, you've seen dramatic improvements and much needed improvements.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a completely different world from when I was playing in terms of media exposure. I mean, back in my day, you know, there was absolutely nothing and very little in the newspapers about the games that we played international. I mean, we're still trying to research games that we are finding very difficult to get any news articles on. But it's so different now. And I would personally put that down to Vera Powell getting us to the World Cup. I mean, the run-up into the getting to the final, and then the surge in popularity from people on the road to the World Cup. And the absolute amazing non-stop media coverage that increased the population's appetite to want to know where this game started, who was involved, who are the players. That's the major change for me.
And just to put it into context then, Linda, back in 1990-91, you, after a year, decided can't do this anymore. Just give me an idea of the sorts of problems that existed in the ladies' game at that time that made you say, no, I can't be involved in this.
Well, the big major change is when we went to Spain and saw how the women were treated over there and actually how we were treated. It was just phenomenal. And then to come back here and nobody even really known that you were away, and that we still hold the record of being the only team that beat the Spanish team on their own home soil, and that includes across the men. I mean, the difference was unbelievable. You have them with their professional facilities and us training in Fairview Park. No training, no showers, no toilet facilities, nowhere to put your gear. I mean, it hadn't changed really very much from when I started playing.
Okay, and this made what Roy Keane complained about in Saipan in the Halfpenny Place in terms of the facilities and conditions that you would have experienced.
Oh, listen, I mean, it's getting all the right things right so that players can play at their best level and not be put off by small things that make a huge difference. I mean, just having the basics was non-existent for us. It needed to change. It absolutely needed to change because we weren't going anywhere.
Mm. Okay, but again, as we said, in the 30-odd years since you were the coach of the Ireland ladies team, a lot has changed. And as you said, you put a lot of that down to the performance in the World Cup. I'm joined on the line by freelance sports journalist Alana Conan. Alana, good afternoon and welcome to News Talk. We're talking about the ladies game and how it has changed in ways that somebody like Linda can't even recognise. It's changed that dramatically. As a sports journalist, obviously, at the time of the World Cup, we saw huge interest in the ladies' team. Has that interest been maintained, though, since the World Cup?
I'd say maintained. There's definitely still work to do. I mean, from Linda's time to Leah's time now, there has been major changes in that period, but more significantly since 2017 and the time the women's national team proposed a strike to get better conditions. And I suppose while changes were made then, there's still more to do. And as you say, the World Cup brought with it a lot of attention, and I suppose it's a balancing act now to increase participation of the role model status after the girls, as you say, they were everywhere last summer. So if they can increase the participation at a ground level, continue to get the media coverage, and then you have to bend the business side of women's sport too. So with those three pillars, they all play into each other and they all contribute to the continued growth of women's game.
And just anecdotally, as somebody who had watched sport a bit, I'm very conscious that the big networks are showing an awful lot more women's football, for example, than ever in the past. And that's obviously continuing to generate more interest.
Yes, definitely. As I say, they all go hand in hand. While there is more increased attention, the increased attention only comes out of more media coverage. Again, getting more girls playing sport, and then that will feed then the next generation as well. So, yeah, definitely there has been more increase in coverage. Again, that's twofold on a, I suppose, level of getting more people playing the game, but also it reflects the growing interest in the game. You know, there is a fandom building within women's sport, and even from an Irish context, you can see it from the Women's National Team recently had a supporters club put together there in the last year. So that just tells you everything you need to know. And again, while they're increasing in the leagues, they're also increasing in the Women's National Team in terms of they've moved now, for some matches anyways, from Tala to the Aviva Stadium. So that's all in recognition, I suppose, of the increased interest and the increased growth of the game.
And obviously, that move from Tala to the Aviva for certain matches is an indication that there is more interest. The crowds, though, still perhaps not as big as the men's game might pull, but not far off it.
Yeah, that's true. So this time last year, they played Northern Ireland in the Aviva Stadium. That was their first ever game in the Aviva Stadium, and they had almost 36,000 there. Now, since they've played England, now that was midweek, so they still got a brilliant crowd there. There was around 30,000, but it is about jumping on to the next step and ever increasing in that as well. I think what was brilliant, what we saw recently, so they were playing in Nations League A in a bit to qualify for the Euros. They got to play in Cork in Parky Cueve. People might have came across that. And again, that's that whole thing of if we can share these role models around and get them around the country and get increasingly more eyes and more women and girls interested in sport and in women's football in particular, it does show that it can pay off.
OK, now let me go to a lady who is actively involved as a player with Shelburne. Leah Doyle joins me on the line. Leah, one of the things that has often been commented on is that a lot of young women drop out of sport as they get a little older. They drop out of sport in their teenage years. Is that still the case, do you think?
Hey, yeah, I do think it is still the case. Maybe less so as it was before. But, I mean, I spent the last summer coaching young kids and there's a lot more girls playing at teenage kind of levels. Like, I think there was a group of 14-year-olds, but when you are trying to balance that study and see your friends and play football, like, it is hard to keep it up. But you can see when they are out and they are getting into that rhythm of playing and it is becoming more normalised that girls are in football, like, they are really enjoying it. And you do get to see your friends and it's nearly time to go, okay, well, I have to step away from study. I have to step away from my desk and go see my friends. And even if football isn't like their main priority in life, you know, they're still getting out and seeing their friends and having fun. I think that's the most important thing about football, is that you're enjoying it and you're making new friends.
And in fact, that's what I was about to say. If only the message would get through to some that the people that you're playing with ultimately become your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think all of my best friends are from football and playing football. It's such an incredible thing because you'd meet people that you were never going to meet from places that you probably didn't even know existed before.
Mm.
And it's like, it really is underrated in the experience of football. Like, you kind of talk about winning, you play, like, talk about your position, but the main thing is, for me, the fun, the enjoyment and the friends you make out of it, the people you meet. I mean, I'm so lucky to be at a club like Shells where everyone is so incredible. I think there should be more of an emphasis on that side of it and not just winning.
And being part of a team then, and a team like Shelburne, one of the most famous clubs on the whole island, that's important as well, being part of a team, because of course it is it's a team sport, so you're working hand in hand with a group of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really stands to you as you go forward in life. I mean, even if you're going into college and into different things, like, you're going to be working in team kind of structures and in work, like, you can kind of tell if someone hasn't been in a team structure before, and it really stands to you because you're working towards a common goal with other people.
So it's not just on the pitch, it's a life lesson, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an invaluable skill, even. It's just, you don't really get that experience from things within sports, I don't think, to that level where it's so high pressure and there's so much noise going on, there's emotions, and you're still able to come together and work to a common goal and stick together, back yourselves, back each other. I think it's invaluable, really.
Okay, here's a nice message that just came in a moment ago, and it says, my daughter joined a social team. I assume it's a soccer team. I'm not sure, but it says social team this year, and she loves it. She's 26 and never really did any sport, but I've seen such a change in her. She's made great friends and is so much happier in herself. And the point being that it's never too late to take up a sport like football.
Yeah, absolutely. I know loads of people who are probably getting back involved. Maybe they were involved when they were younger. A lot of my friends would have played, and then they did kind of fall off it. It became a bit of a commitment. Now they're realising, like, oh, I can just play for fun. It doesn't have to be my whole life. Mm. Like, I can just go and enjoy it. And I think you get a lot of confidence from it too. Yeah, I think it's never too late to join back, yeah.
And exactly that message, that it is fun to be involved in. I want to just wrap up and go back to Linda for a moment, who, as we mentioned, was a coach of the ladies' team at the start of the 90s. Linda, obviously the game has changed beyond recognition since you were a player yourself. There's still a bit to do in terms of getting the ladies' game up to the level in terms of support of the men's game. But do you see that happening?
Yes, I do. With the right people in there, I absolutely do see it happen. Technically, not much has changed because we had just as good players back then as there are now, except that competition across the world is quite different in technically, and that's where we need to focus. See, it's great to be going out and playing football, but you need to be playing at the highest standard. And that just comes from being technically better than the next player. I mean, you talked about the amount of people playing football. This is the first year in my life that I've seen the lack of pitches available from Dublin County Council because of the increase of women in leagues and everything else going on. I mean, for me, going forward for women's football, the best way is to maybe attend one of the courses, futsal courses that are available, because technical ability from a young age is very, very important. I mean, you now also come across the particular type of injuries that women get, cruciate ligament injuries that women get playing football. But that's been able to be overcome by the type of training that's been given, specialised training that's been given to women. So for me, the growth in football, and I can see parallels, because not only did I coach women, I also coach schoolboys and schoolboy clubs. And I can see the same type of trend where around 15, they go to England and maybe get an opportunity over there. There's a young girl called Hallie Harcourt. She plays with Belvedere Schoolboys. She's about 14 now. She is going to be one of those players that I see paralleling the schoolboys of my era, where she's now been watched by Chelsea. She's been over there a couple of times. So we have a couple of these things happening.
Brilliant.
Now, I would imagine that they're taking her because of her extremely good technical ability, because she comes from a family of footballers, a very renowned family of footballers in town, in the inner city. So that's the type of way I think we need to go forward. Going back to the benefits of playing football, the long-term benefits are phenomenal. And Leah talked about being in a team. Well, the most important thing in later life is to be part of a social group.
Absolutely. And as we said, it's never too late. And that message that I read out a couple of minutes ago, 26, never really did any sport. And there's been such a change in this woman's daughter. Linda, Alana and Leah, thank you very much indeed, all of you, for joining us on Lunchtime Live. And the FAI Cadbury series is with thanks to Cadbury, supporter and a half of the women's national team. Just one final message, actually. Wish Piemont United the best as they represent Ireland next week in the Champions League.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.